You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the inadvertent aunt of the small, sapient, woolen bear Tyler wished alive. I don't know the backstory on this. I assume you do.
I guess I wished for a bear.
Did you?
Only I know the backstory on this one.
Congratulations.
It takes place in Floops. Wait, hold on. There's another voice in here.
Oh, hi.
Wait, what?
What?
Does everybody hear that?
I've heard this voice before.
Where does it come from?
It sounds so familiar.
It's coming from inside the microphone.
Where does it go?
Inside the house.
Something Cotton Eye Joe. End of thought.
Voice, identify yourself.
Hi, I'm Danny. I don't have a cool subtitle.
Yeah, do you want one?
I would love one. Can I have a cool subtitle?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, no. I want you to give me one from your list.
I can let you borrow.
If I could borrow one.
See, you're in the position that I was in, which is I don't want to do that every week. I don't want to come up with one. Cool. I want other people to come up with them for me.
Gordy,
it's been
outsourced.
Would you like to be the Chamberlain of Joshua's?
I love that. Yes, please. Okay.
That's a pretty good one.
Chamberlain of Joshua's.
That's from Mersey.
Hey, thanks.
All right. As you might have guessed from our new voice, we are in Anniversisode lands.
That means a guest is here.
And a Dolnois is coming.
Oh, no.
Danny, it's been a while since you've been here.
It has been.
We've made some changes.
The microphone situation is real fancy.
We have these robes for you to wear.
Oh, I cannot wait.
And a glossary of terms to memorize.
Okay.
Choose your cult. There are several.
What are my cult options?
You have the cult of the good bus very fast. You have the cult of cricket. You have the cult of the diabolical slow. And you have, like, a side cult about meat.
Oh, I feel boring, but I feel like I have to be part of the cult of cricket.
Welcome to the fold.
I'm
the mother of cats.
Of course you are.
That is my cult. All right. So now that you are robed, initiated, and in front of a fancy new mic, you know the drill, but some of our newer listeners might not have encountered you yet in their backlog listening. So would you like to introduce yourself and what kind of stuff you do?
Oh, yeah. Hi. So my name's Danny, and I am a writer and a Shakespeare actor and sometimes a comedian. And those are the things that I do.
And where can people find your work?
If you want to check out my writings, you can go to hopeisthethingwithlightsabers.wordpress.com.
It's a good get.
It's a good get, thanks.
Hot competition.
I know, right? It's my blog about mental health and nerd stuff. So I like to think of myself as Atlanta's resident tall, sad girl who talks about Star Wars all the time. It's just kind of where I feel at home.
That's your bicycle shorts identity. Bicycle shorts man identity of Atlanta.
What?
Oh, yes. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Atlanta has its like set of figures. And
bicycle
shorts man is one of them.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Baton Bob was for a while, but he seems to have moved on, so another city may have claimed him.
When do we get to be one? How many years in do we have to do?
We have to leave the house, Tyler.
Yeah.
Like, that's our problem.
People have to know about us.
Yeah. This is an inside activity.
So if we brought our podcast set up to, like, Piedmont Park, we could be the three weird podcast people.
Do you remember when
I think that would get you a reputation really quickly if you had all of this set up at Piedmont Park.
Do you remember when...
Once a week.
Or a Waffle House.
Yes.
But which one?
If you keep ordering fries, they can't make you leave.
There's no fries at Waffle House, you monster.
Well, Denny's then.
Why would you go to Denny's when you could go to Waffle House?
Whatever. If you keep ordering a small menu item, they can't kick you out.
My parents, okay, this is unrelated to anything except for Waffle House. I found out, apparently my parents have gone to Waffle House for Valentine's Day the last couple of years in a row. And it's a whole thing where you like make a reservation and
Great.
They have a special menu. And like the owner's toddler son wears a tuxedo and gives the ladies roses. And it sounds like the scariest thing in the entire world. But my parents think it's really cute. So,
I mean, if they like it, good for them.
I know, right?
Has anyone podcasted inside a Kroger?
Remember when the Beatles did that rooftop concert?
No, I wasn't alive.
And everybody was like, this is Corey great. Instead of asking, do you have permission to be here? This is very loud.
They just got excited.
Can you turn it down, please?
Yeah.
Everybody seemed to like it. We could do that.
That would be you guys in a Kroger.
Yeah. It's a shame Murder Kroger has been no more. Because that
is
would be
it?
A good place to, yeah.
I mean, it's coming back, but will it, but with as much murder is the question. Yeah.
Hopefully not.
If I mean, I know it's ruined everything.
I mean, I know it's like a thing, but let's not kill people.
Yeah, no, you're right.
If we put our setup in a cart, we might be able to move around enough that they can't catch us until we're done.
That's true. That's very true.
Or just like camp out in an aisle that nobody cares about.
Like the one with like the auto stuff.
Yeah.
And some school supplies.
Or like the books. No one's buying their literature at Kroger.
No, but
that's
they do
true.
Put the books next to like the shampoo and
I think
makeup.
It depends on the Kroger. I've seen like bigger Krogers that have like their own book aisle.
Like a whole
I think
one?
Book. I think book at, book section's good. School supplies. People
yeah.
go in there in August. That's it.
Yeah, no one not
you buy
wants
your pencils
light bulbs
once
from
a year.
Kroger.
No.
So that's a good one.
Great.
All right.
That is,
all right.
That
let's
is
pack
all.
Up and go.
That is all to say that we're here to read an exceptionally weird fairy tale this week.
Mm-hmm. We are returning to the works of the Baroness d'Aulnois, the creator of the term fairy tale, the crazed rich woman who had a lot of time to herself and no eraser.
And no access to an editor, it seems. And also, again, fingers crossed we're saying that right. It's been 4 years. We've never...
No one's ever called you on it?
Never been called on
You're
it. Also, never asked anyone in the know. If it's right, we just call her what we call her.
Yeah. That's that confidence that's going to serve you well at Kroger, my friend.
Yeah.
When the manager comes out, we'll have Gordy be the one speaking.
Yeah.
She's a
and
person.
Gordy can be like, I was there for the Beatles rooftop concert.
How dare you look at me?
I'm the Paul McCartney of my generation. How dare you speak to me?
D'Aulnois is a person that I both loathe and aspire to be.
Yeah, like, she is a magnificent human being who has caused us a lot of torment, but I admire her moxie.
Would you say she is the Kojima of the 18th century?
I think Kojima was.
You think he was alive then?
Yeah.
And working on those Metal Gears?
He's like a Keanu.
Okay.
He's been around for a while.
Okay, well, maybe she learned from him or something.
He was her sensei. Brief bit of business. We just want to thank Jenna, nuisance of the show, for the annual anniversary-sode beautiful crochet gift. In this case, like, exceptionally gorgeous.
It's a big one.
A big firebird with, like,
Israel pretty.
A really cool tail situation going on. I keep trying to get it to sit on my shoulder, but it wants to be free, so it's going to sit in my lap.
we'll tweet it.
So thank you.
You don't tweet it. Put it in the Discord. Then they have to pay for it.
Okay, that's
if
right.
If you want to see it, you got to pay us $1.
We're jacking up the prices. $400 to get in.
This our fourth year of the podcast. Mora's hidden behind a paywall. We're getting greedy. All right, so we're going to bring back something that you two have not had in a long time,
mm-hmm.
which is choice.
Mm.
It's an illusion, always.
And now that Danny's here, there's a definite tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's true.
I'm going to wait and definitely hear what both of you think before I chime in.
We might agree.
So you only have two choices because...
I get three votes.
It takes forever to note a D'Aulnois story.
Mm-hmm.
So your two choices are The Bluebird or Grass Use and Person It.
Did you say grass use?
Sure.
Like marijuana use?
Yeah.
Because I want... That one, I think.
Grass Use and Person It.
What was the first one?
The Bluebird.
And what was the second one?
Grass Use and Person It.
Person It?
What is Person It?
Person It.
Can't remember.
Person
It? The first one is gone from my head.
Like French person?
Because I think it's boring.
Sure. Like
Grass Use and Person It.
It's Grassy and Percy.
Oh. Who are they and what do they want? What's with a Bluebird, though? What could that possibly be that's good? It's a bird.
She also wrote a story called The Bee and the Orange Tree.
She did. And those are pretty mundane on the surface.
They were anything but.
I need one detail about each of them, please.
D'Aulnois wrote them.
other than that.
How about a character name from each of them?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, who are we going to be spending these hours with?
King Charming.
Love it.
And which one is that associated with?
The Bluebird.
King Charming's pretty good.
Yeah, I like King Charming.
Duchess Grognon.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
You're really putting your thumb on the scale, but it is Duchess. It is Duchess Grognog?
Grognon.
Grognon the half-orc. It is that one. Of course it's Duchess Grognon.
It was always Duchess Grognon.
So I'm sourcing this from Sir Laloon. Writing the notes for this fairy tale was enough research. If you guys want to know more about like when this one was written,
sure,
you have a Google. Go find it. I'm not your mom.
It was written in myth times.
Yes.
You guys have gotten like more belligerent since the last time I was here.
It's
do your research. Give me a dollar.
The years are starting to weigh.
It's a defense mechanism.
We have read folk tales once a week for 4 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
So our brains are gone and we no longer remember them. Let's do this.
Let's go.
All right.
Duchess Grognon, ahoy.
Gracius and Personet, sourced from Sir Laloon.
Can you spell those two? Because I'm going to die if I don't find out.
Go get your label maker.
That's so far.
I told you at the beginning.
Okay, fine.
That you might want that. Oh,
I didn't until this moment.
It's a Dalnoir story. It's going to probably be 4 parts.
Oh boy. There's not enough chicken from Panda Express in all the world. Until your wedding.
Yeah, if I ever get married, Panda might be catering. Because I do want just an excuse to try all of their chickens without having to pay individually for chicken meals. Because, I mean, we haven't put enough of our content behind a paywall for us to be able to afford that amount of Panda experience. But that is the goal. We should put that on our Patreon milestones.
To buy Panda and make it a buffet.
To taste all of the Panda offerings.
I want to own Panda Express, the restaurant.
Yeah, well,
I want it to be a buffet.
Like, you just want one franchise, or you want to, like, own the...
No, I want to own the company.
All right, cool.
A buffet that gives out real coupons every now and then. Like,
I don't know.
Where their rewards program is not just, we will send you an email to inform you about the chicken that we have.
I wrote Fairy Truccio, and I don't know if I ever printed it out.
That was the message that was waiting for you.
Yeah, so Fairy Truccio is the last time I use this. Please spell Personetta and Gracius.
Okay, Gracius is G-R-A-C-I-E.
G-R-A-C-I-E.
U-S-E.
Gracius.
Yeah, Gracius. Gracie and Percy. Personet is P-E-R.
You have to wait.
They don't get to be on the same slip?
No, they're different people. Okay.
P-E-R.
Wait, it takes a long time. P-E-R.
C-I-N-E-T.
Great. And now I know. Now I know who these people are. I can spell their names. I can refer to them.
Would it be Personet? Since it's French.
Probably.
Sure, whatever. Personet. Well, they're Gracie and Percy. Or sure. Grace and Percy.
I mean, that's what we will boil
name.
It down
Gracie
to.
Gracie and the Purse.
That's their band
Might
name.
Okay.
So Grace and Percy is their sitcom name, and Gracie and the Purse is their band name.
Okay, I'm into it.
Once there lived a king and queen who had one daughter, and this daughter was the most beautiful, the most gentle, and the most quick-witted human being that ever existed, other than Dalnoir's other myriad main characters.
We have long suspected that Dalnoir self-inserts herself into these stories as protagonists a lot.
She is the original fanfic writer, and she hits every trope. So, because she is beautiful, gentle, and quick-witted, they name her Gracius, which means graceful, which you might notice none of those things that we're just describing.
They're just kind of banking on that one.
Yeah.
Being
like,
part
like
of the package.
Hopefully, like,
yeah,
she's,
if you are all these other things, you're probably...
She's a very quick-witted baby, and we're hoping that, like, once...
I can appreciate, though, that, like, she fits all the other sort of, like, classic ingenue tropes, but they didn't, like, make her clumsy rom-com style just so there was something wrong with her.
Right.
Like good
that's
for you.
That's typically
like,
the one.
Donwa has yeah. not yet
like,
reached
oh, but I trip.
Young adult novel
and you're
levels.
Flawed, thank goodness.
She's still in fan fiction of young adult novel where her main character is just perfect. She's
how does quick wit manifest in an infant?
Good question.
Is it...
Do they spit up at an appropriately comical time?
I was like, yeah. Probably good comedic timing. Maybe they... Is it just faster response? Do they cry better?
Do they do like a DreamWorks eyebrow at an appropriate time?
Probably.
My sister's baby can now gesture me to come to her.
Don't.
She can't words,
is
but
it
she
menacing?
Can... A little.
Don't.
Yes.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Is it like a creepy one finger come hither kind of thing?
It was three fingers.
Like a mafia boss.
Yeah.
It was three fingers and it was more of like a matron of a boarding school.
I see.
Kind of
did
thing.
The other hand contain a ruler?
Probably, yes. I don't remember what happened next.
Oh, God.
That sounds really dire.
Anyway, back to the story. Grace was her mother's only joy, and every morning she was given a new beautiful dress of gold brocade or velvet or satin, but all of these dress gifts never made her vain or boastful.
Good for her. I feel like she's bragging now.
She studied with scholars...
I hate her.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's the worst already.
I'm all in.
She studied with scholars in the mornings, and she worked near the queen in the afternoons,
doing
who knows
what.
Queen things.
Also, the queen's only joy. What does that say about the king? That makes me sad.
I mean, that's to be expected.
Yeah, Donwa doesn't like kings.
This could
what
have been
King Charming.
It could have been an arranged marriage.
Okay, that's fair.
This is fairy tale time, so we don't really know the circumstances of their union.
Their courtship.
Typically, it was magic.
I just want the queen to have more going on for herself. Like,
I do too. Like, being involved with your child is great. You shouldn't. Maybe it's not the only thing about you.
Yeah.
A name would be a fantastic start.
Name would be great, other than Queen.
Maybe that is her name. Like, her parents were really uncreative, and they're like, well, Queen. I mean, that's
aspirational.
Your fate. Like, you're going to be one, so let's just cut to the chase. What's even with this, like, Frank? Whatever. That doesn't make sense. It's just naming what they're going to be.
Are you thinking it was between Queen and Frank?
Those are the only two choices.
Yes.
In this French
I mean,
kingdom.
Yeah, she's French, so she's both.
She would be a Frank.
Yes. Yeah, so she worked near the queen in the afternoons doing, I guess, data entry. I don't know. But
is it about the dresses?
Some light admin work.
But for her lunch break, she had basins of sweetmeats and more than 20 pots of jam.
For lunch.
For lunches.
Every day?
Yes.
20 pots of jam.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, do you just eat it?
I
like,
say, what are you
like
doing
Winnie
with
the
it?
Pooh? Like, you just grab it with your paw and get stuck in Rabbit's house?
Are they different nutrients?
I was at a restaurant with a jam bar one time, and I will say it was the highlight of my life.
I mean, that sounds glorious, and I believe I have even mentioned on this show that I do aspire to have a jam shelf at some point.
Yeah, it's a
I
good
mean,
aspiration.
Yeah, but like a shelf is good. But you're not going to eat them all at once.
Yeah.
You don't need to get them out every day
not
for your
every
lunch.
Day.
I can't chug 20 pots of jam in a month.
Maybe she's not. Okay. Jam is a condiment. You don't eat jam raw.
No.
It just says sweet meats and jam, though.
Alone, you don't dip a sweet meat in jam.
Well, that
do
is
you?
What this.
I mean, sweet meats
can
is,
I say bitch?
Is kind of
this bitch is up to.
Okay, so sweet meats is some sort of like bread type substance. I have a Google here that I could.
You can, yeah, we
can
say.
Feel free to say whatever terrible words
we, you can't
yeah.
say fart
okay,
and
so
frick words all the time.
I should know sweet meats off the top of my head, being a Shakespeare nerd, but.
They are a sweet delicacy prepared with sugar, honey, or the like, as preserves, candy, or cakes and pastries. This princess is the most diabetic princess that has ever lived.
She's just
lived.
Eating pastries and 20 pots of jam and gets a new dress every day. But don't worry, she's not vain or boastful.
So,
she's
sugar.
Bragging about how many jam pots she has.
Candied fruit. Sugar-covered nuts, sugar plums, bonbons, or balls and sticks of candy. Sweet breads, on the other hand, are organ bits.
Oh.
But these are sweet meats, so she is getting candy and jam for all of her lunches.
What I am picturing... Ooh. What I am picturing is, like, the modern-day equivalent, I think, is having 20 dipping sauces.
Yes.
Yeah,
choose from.
And pixie sticks.
Yeah, the modern equivalent is to have those like little dip sticks and then 20
and you jam. You don't slam down the Arby's sauce. You dip something in it.
Yeah, so she has candy that she's dipping into jam, and that's her lunches. And like, I want to read the Del Noir story where they go to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and Del Noir's main character, Augustina Gloopet, just gets drowned in a river.
Gordy, you need to understand that royal bodies work differently than ours.
Yeah. It's a different diet, you're saying.
Well, like the interior even is entirely different.
Yeah, the constitution, yeah. I think.
Supported by hams.
If you took an x-ray of a king, it would look like a Candyland board in there.
It's a Candyland board full of gout.
Full of gout?
Yes.
Speaking of gout, the favorite was great and Green Book is trash.
So they
Hashtag Oscars.
So they need the jams. They are just swigging the jams down.
Yeah.
Because they need the sugars
for
and
power.
The jellies
yep.
to keep them afloat,
yeah,
I guess.
The
okay.
jelly is the ham
to
of
keep
kings.
Keep them inflated.
At the same court lived a very rich old maid whose name was Duchess Grognon.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yes.
Continue.
He spelled Grognon.
Grognon.
Amazing.
This is my favorite thing about Del Noir, because she lived in the age before the internet and before things like this were tropes, and she just made noises that she thought were appropriate to the gross character she was making.
I mean,
and that's a name now.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to imagine that this is another person that she didn't like and put in her story.
But
Henrietta Grognon, her high school bully.
Yeah,
but it's an old rich maid.
Yeah, she's a duchess.
What did she eat for lunch?
Maid as in profession?
No, maid as in
never married.
Married of someone.
Oh.
Yeah, this is not a merry maid situation. She is a duchess, but she is, as you might have guessed from the name Grognon, super ugly, with fire red hair and a huge face covered with pimples. She had only one eye, and it was a bleary one, and her mouth was so big that it threatened to gobble up everyone, but it's okay, you don't have to be too afraid, because she also has no teeth. She does have, however, a hump on the front and the back of her body.
Wow.
Of her what?
Body. Like
front and the back.
Yeah,
front hump.
A front hump and a back hump.
So she's shaped like a sideways top.
But like flat on both sides. And she is lame in both legs.
Where did the riches come from?
Duchessing? I don't know if this is
she
like...
She duchessed so hard that she got hump ugly.
Her family duchessed and rich hoarded so hard that like inbreeding resulted in this.
Unpleasant.
Woof. I don't know what series of genetic accidents lands you here. I don't know of a real human who has ever lived, like even with things like elephantitis, who would be described like this.
I need more about Duchess Grognon. I gotta know what
are her powers?
I'm gonna say, what's she up to?
What's her
sneaky plan?
I'm gonna come out as pro Grognon.
Pro Grognon? We know nothing about her.
Pro Grognon. Were we supposed to do stuff at the beginning? Should we do predictions?
I think you should predict a boat.
A boat or not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but just for length?
Yes.
All right.
There will be a boat. That's it.
Okay.
Our boat.
I'm on board.
That's the whole segment.
I'm on board. I didn't mean to do that.
The whole segment.
I love it.
Monsters like Duchess Grognon are very jealous of those who are beautiful. That's their whole life.
How can she tell?
Yeah.
She's got one eye that doesn't work.
One bleary eye.
Everyone's just kind of bleary.
If anybody was a candidate for cybernetic enhancements.
Oh, Cyber Grognon was
Cyber Grognon.
I think it's Grognon, and I do want. Ooh. I am on kind of a cyberpunk kick again.
Sure.
I mean, I would appreciate a cyber Grognon as a protagonist.
And
Grognon,
I already like her more than Jam Bitch, which is my name for Grace now.
That's not going to get better. Just a spoiler alert. All right.
Percocet hasn't even shown up yet.
So she hated Grace, and she left the court so that she could Percocet.
I don't remember his real name.
It's close enough.
Right? That's good. Yeah.
You're pretty close.
Yeah.
We're here to fix these stories, and that's an improvement. So, but yeah, Percocet. So she, of course, hated Grace, and she left the court so she could stop hearing how beautiful Grace was. Because, as Tyler pointed out, she probably couldn't see it. But everyone else is all like, man, Jam Princess is so hot. Look at her downing that
Look at her go to
jam.
Town on that orange marmalade.
Look at her unhinge her jaw and, and swallow a jam jar whole.
She's just Pac-Maning jam jars for lunch.
But they know where it goes. Into the sugary insides where it belongs.
It just forms the rest of the jam that keeps her organs together.
The glucose structures that bind her organs together.
Grognon just thinks back to the days before Grace was born when everyone would cheer her on as she gummed down the jam buckets.
That's probably why she lost her teeth. All that sugar.
Prediction. Cyber Grognon is actually going to be Grace from the future.
Oh, that's pretty good.
This is a time travel story.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
Is it from the future? Okay. Yeah. Okay,
like she's come back to stop her from jam.
Stop. Do not do this. Look, I have two humps. They're full of jam.
They're like, full of jam.
Like a dromedary. like a jam camel.
It ran out of places to go, and it just made new ones.
What is the drinking mechanism?
I lost my eye to the diabetes.
What is the drinking mechanism in a camel that lets it get the water out?
I don't know.
How does it get the water from the hump?
It's got a secret straw.
Into its mouth?
Yeah, it's like a straw situation. Like,
you can't. There's no...
It's got another stomach.
So
there.
You're familiar with the camelback like drinking thing for hiking?
Yeah.
Where you have kind of the straw that comes from your backpack?
Yeah.
I mean, that is anatomically correct to what a real camel is. They have it. It's just a straw. And their milkshake brings all the place to the act.
What? This... Okay.
I don't know, just imagine a camel with like a striped straw like you see in like illustrations of people drinking milkshakes. And that's where my brain went. Let's
like
go.
Like the Daniel Day-Lewis movie.
Sure, yeah. Let's get back to this Dalma story, though.
There will be jam.
So Grognon takes her jam humps off to a castle of her own, which is a ways off from this one. And when people paid her a visit, so she's apparently like at least pleasant enough that people are going to come talk with her.
I think they're just stealing.
how are you doing, Grognon? And then just sliding the silverware.
They do a little bit of lip service and then they take what they want.
So people would pay her a visit, and in doing so they would just be there to tell her like, oh, the princess is so great, like she ate 30 pots of jam today.
A new record.
And Grognon would respond by yelling, it's a lie! It's a lie! She's not beautiful! There is more charm in my little finger than in her whole body.
Ooh, okay.
I was going to say that it was a surprisingly mature solution of her to just move away from the thing that she didn't like.
Yeah.
Instead of doing, like, evil magic to it.
Until this, yeah.
I mean, it's starting to sound bad.
I mean,
I don't think this is going to go well. In her defense...
She moved away from it, and it followed her.
Yeah, other people brought it back.
Yeah, who are these people visiting just to tell her?
I think Tyler's got the right
just
of it.
Just to tell her uncomfortable truths and steal from her.
I think I'm on Gordy's side. I'm pro-Grognon. This isn't her fault.
At the moment, still pro-Grognon.
In the meantime, the queen fell ill and died.
Oh, okay.
Okay, glad we didn't name her.
Totally unrelated to all of the jam.
Princess Gracie nearly died of grief, and the king was in deep distress and spent nearly a whole year shut up in his palace until his doctors ordered him to go out or he might die. Like, get out, get some exercise. You have like literally sat in your bed for a
year. You have atrophied.
For a year?
Yeah, he spent a year in his like just shut up, and his doctors are like, you have none vitamin D and we've never seen this before. Get outside.
Supported on all those jelly sacks though.
He's going to remarry Grognon. That's where he goes outside.
Because he's hideous now, too.
Yeah.
He also has...
That's how grief works.
The jam bags.
He's the jam caught up with him. You think... Is it a drug? Is it the spice? Does it prolong your life, but it also gets you addicted?
So one day the king is just goes out hunting, because if he's got to be out, he might as well be killing things.
Might as well take another life.
And he finds it a little too hot outside for his kingly comforts. He just wanders into the first castle he comes across. Like, this is mine now.
And he's topless.
You don't knock or anything. He goes and rests in a castle because he has no boundaries.
Glistening with sweat.
Yes. This is, of course, Duchess Grognon's castle. And as soon as she'd heard that the king had come in, she came to receive him and said, "Oh, are you hot, Your Majesty? The coolest place in the house is in my cellar."
Oh, no.
Oh, wait.
It's also clean. Like, I have cleaned it. It's not a dirty cellar. So please come down.
Just go roll around down there.
She's gonna turn him into jam.
And then feed it to the princess.
Get the jam back out of him.
The jam harvest has come.
Jam harvest. Oh, no.
So the king goes down with her, and he sees in the cellar 200 barrels, and he says, "Whoa, are all these just for you?" So Grognon is a lush, a wino.
I mean, Grog is in her name.
are we still talking about jam?
No, this is wine now.
Oh.
This is grown-up jam. So you start on the jam pots.
Grown-up jam. If you leave jam out too long, it becomes wine.
Yeah, that's how that works.
And she says, yeah, these 200 barrels are mine, but you're welcome to have a taste. I've got Canary, St. Lawrence, Champagne, and she goes on and lists many different types of wine. And what would you like? And the king's all about that champagne.
I think I'd be incredibly uncomfortable in that scenario. Like, if someone took me down and showed me their nice wine cellar and rattled off all the stuff they had.
Well, you
like,
are not...
Can I offer you some wine? Like, I think I like the white ones. Do you have
a cask of Amontillado starts? So, you, like,
is it
right?
It's been a while since I've read it. I don't remember how it starts. I remember how it ends.
Yeah,
everyone remembers that. I also don't remember how it starts. Gordy, you are also not a sweaty jam king, so I don't think you can relate on the personal level.
Some days I feel like a sweaty jam king. I'm not gonna lie.
And you probably would know at least enough about wine to hear one that you recognize. I mean, you recognize champagne, and that's the one the king goes for, so he could also be equally clueless.
Yeah, I think you just pick one out of the list, and you're like, I want that one.
Yeah.
He got sweaty from physical activity, right?
Yeah.
Would it be safe to call him a jock jam?
Yeah. No, just me.
A jock jam.
A jock jam.
Explain your joke, please.
Yeah, Tyler.
For the listeners.
Tyler needs an ally in this situation.
I got you, Tyler.
Explain it for the people.
It's a type of music.
Jock jam?
Yeah.
Is music?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
There were compilations and everything.
They pump you up.
Pump up the jam.
Now that's what I call jock jams.
Yeah.
Is it like butt rock?
No.
I don't know what butt rock is, but I do not care for the phrase.
It sounds like a similar thing.
No, you know Space Jam?
Yeah.
That's a jock jam.
Okay. I've never heard it called that. Well, is it called jock jam because of Space Jam?
I think it's jock jam because it's supposed to be like very
supposed
active.
You jam out to it while you're being a jock.
Yeah.
While you do sports.
Yeah. It's a sporty jam.
Okay. I got you.
All right. So Grognon takes out a little hammer and taps at the barrel.
Oh, sorry. Had a panic attack.
Now you can still be Team Grognon. But instead of champagne, out comes 1,000 pistols, which in this case are gold coins and not guns.
Oh, okay.
So spelled differently. Yeah. Spelled differently than the pew pew kind.
Still not what he asked for.
Yeah. Not a champagne.
Where's this going?
So Grognon smiles what I imagine is a fairly shit eating smile and says, "Oh, well, what's the meaning of this? How strange."
Have no wine, just money.
How did this bribe get in here? My bribe seller is in another castle room.
So she taps at another barrel and out come a bushel of double louis d'ors, which are a different kind of gold coin.
Oh, okay.
And she said, "I don't understand at all," she said, her smile getting broader and more shit-eating.
But gummy.
Yeah, very gummy. But she does have like a wide mouth that makes you afraid she can eat you if she had teeth. So,
no,
like,
don't. I remember. Don't worry. I'm still afraid of that.
She's like a frog non. So she taps a third barrel, and out a stream of pearls and diamonds. Whoops, oh, your majesty. Someone must have stolen my fancy wine and put these trifles in instead.
People have been stealing from her when they visit. You got it.
It's okay. A pretty bad crime.
Trifles, said the king in wonder.
We're going to steal the wine, but we have to put something in there so that it stays the same weight. We're just filling with all these precious jewels.
Or a boulder will be triggered. We'll have to Indiana Jones it out of here.
Amazing.
Trifles, said the king in wonder. You call these trifles, Madame Grognon? There's enough here to buy 10 kingdoms as big as Paris.
Propose to her.
As a random city example.
Come on, Grognon, this is your chance.
Yeah.
The Grognon says, well, all these barrels are full of gold and jewels. Not wine. That was a mistake on my part. Clerical error. Sorry. Wine cellar's in a different spot.
Does she say that?
Listen, no, she lady. Just says all of the barrels are full of gold and jewels, but she had previously listed out all the wines that they
how
were.
How does she?
But because she's also, she set this up.
I mean, she's pretending like it's a mistake.
Yes.
Right? Like, oops, I thought there was wine in here, but there's jewels.
She's being coy and
I mean,
flirty.
I know.
The fish is already on the hook. She just has to reel it in.
Yeah,
now.
Come on, Grognon.
I guess she gives up. She does give up the game by saying, like, also, all yeah. the rest of these are filled
oh,
with
oh, you,
coins, probably.
You like that? Well, guess what? There's no wine here. It was diamonds all the way down. Yeah, so, and they can be yours if you'll marry me.
Do it.
So, rock on, Danny. You understand folklore better than these two fools.
There might be a boat still.
I think there's probably a boat. A boat and some time travel.
It's a small thing that I feel like I can control and get my head around.
The boat?
Whether there's a boat or not. Like, that's yeah. a very concrete thing that I can measure.
It's concrete until there isn't a boat, and then you make it really abstract so that you can still be right. So, I don't think that's valid.
Why is Grognon not, like, already the queen? If the king is so enticed by her riches... Are we implying that she has more than him?
Yeah.
Yes, why? It seems like it.
Seems like she is richer.
Feels backwards.
I mean, running a kingdom's expensive.
I mean, they're spending a lot of money on jam.
Jam expenses.
20 jars a day.
The jam expenses
are
out of
catching
control.
Up to the kingdom.
Maybe they're doing some wars at the same time, and that's costly. So maybe he's
especially
in a situation.
Especially if they have to ship the jam with the soldiers.
Right. It's all the jam going out with the soldiers.
Caught between a jam and a war place.
And maybe they just need to bring in...
It's the title of my favorite protest song.
Back when Woody Guthrie was still writing bangers. Maybe he just needs like another cash flow.
Okay.
All right. So she proposes to him, and we now get our first understanding of the king other than sad about wife's death. Ah, replied the king, who cared for money more than anything else.
Ah, okay.
Tomorrow sounds good. Let's do it.
What?
For the wedding?
Yeah.
This is what I mean.
Why wait?
This is what we collectively mean. I think we've brought this up before when people say, oh, I want a fairy tale wedding.
You gotta do it tomorrow.
This is it.
Yeah, that's how that works.
This is it.
Yeah.
Someone tricks you into going into a cellar and shows you money. And then you get married tomorrow.
Fairy tale wedding.
That's yeah, and one of you is Grognon. that's what it is. It's not
you have
all...
to pull straws to figure out which one of you is the Grognon in this relationship.
it's not all Cinderella's
fairy tale marriage.
Cinderella's and Ariel's and what have you.
It's important to know which one wears the jam humps in the relationship.
Yeah.
All right. So Grognon's like, all right, well, one more condition. I want mother's authority over your daughter and all of the control to her to be left to me.
This is a very long con.
Yes.
This
is a great jam con.
This is a strong, independent woman who needs a man only insofar as she has a plan she needs to execute, and it does involve some political intrigue.
Barrels full of pearls.
In response to this, the king just kind of shrugs and goes, yeah, whatever, I don't... Money. Money, please.
Money, please, now.
I'm disappointed that she used a hammer on the barrels.
Instead of what?
Some sort of serrated blade.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it'd be cooler?
It'd be a potential miracle.
I mean, that would be a knife miracle. You just stick it into a barrel that you think is full of wine and jewels pour out of it.
And you think anything, yeah, any bladed weapon, sure. That's tough.
So they leave the treasure house and she gives him the key, which I guess stands in for an engagement ring here. I mean, this was pre the diamond industry deciding that that was a requirement, so this is the first engagement ring.
She did give him
a cellar full of riches.
Yeah.
She did give him a barrel full of diamonds, so I don't know that one more is going to be.
200 barrels full of diamonds.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't know that this is true, though.
That's true. She could.
We have verified the contents of 3 barrels. This might be a con.
The rest could be dirt.
Oh, no. I didn't think about that.
I mean, she's a clever lady.
And if
she's
so,
a clever
good,
minx.
Good on you, Grognon.
Yeah.
So the king goes back to the palace, and his daughter greets him happily and asks him how the hunt went. And he says, I caught a dove alive.
A dove alive?
Yeah.
He said he was going hunting?
Yeah.
How did he end up at the Grognons?
It was hot. It was hot. That's so dumb. Sorry. That's
right. So his daughter takes this romantic platitude literally and offers to like feed it and take care of it. Like she wants a dove pet. That sounds pretty good.
And he says, actually, that would be great.
I would like to give it some jam.
There's that biting wit that she's known for.
Right.
Yep. Ooh. And the king says, no, honey. To speak plainly, dumb idiot.
New mommy.
I'm at Duchess Grognon. We're having a wedding tomorrow. You have a new mom.
You have to call her Grog Mom.
Yes.
It's in the contract.
Oh, heavens, said Gracius without thinking with her quick wit. She's more like an owl than a dove.
Hey, owls are beautiful.
Owls are gorgeous.
How dare you?
I would argue owls are cooler looking than doves.
Also, yeah. What kind of owl?
Yeah, fair question.
Yeah.
What kind of... Yeah.
It could be that transforming owl that Can is you, all kind of crazy.
You know what? I was thinking about evaluating it in the way that I know how, which is birds that John Woo uses in movies.
Yeah.
And I would definitely like it if it was like 2 dozen owls that like flew out around the main character with a gun.
Can you write a bird watching book with that metric?
Yes, please.
A bird watching book?
Yeah.
Oh, like I saw this like bird. I don't think it would fit into a John Woo movie.
We'll just
no
grade
stars.
It on that scale. Like, what kind of scene would it fit in?
John Woo's Audubon Society.
Yeah, there you go. John Woo's. What about like an ostrich?
Ostriches are cool as hell.
They're weird animals.
They are big old dinosaurs.
Basically, yes.
I think it would be a fantastic movie if it contained a scene of a man like jumping in slow motion, shooting guns, and a bunch of ostriches were just running behind him.
Yeah, I think, you know, come to think of it, most birds do it for me in that scene.
Penguins.
Trying to find out what like the famous scene is.
Just have a bunch of penguins sliding underneath him.
That's amazing.
All right. So the king is really angry at his daughter for calling his beloved, sugar mama.
Yeah.
An owl.
That's a different context in this jam society.
A what?
Sugar mama.
It's much more literal.
Yeah, I guess so.
And he tells her, shut up. She's going to be your mom now. So go get dressed. We're going to go see her today. This same, like, I just left.
This is the same day. Now that we're back to see her.
The rehearsal
before the
is 20
tomorrow.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Gracius obediently goes to her room because she's perfect and the best and there's nothing wrong with her ever. And her nurse sees that she's distressed and asks, hey, what's up? Like, nothing ever happens in your life, so why are you upset? Your mom's already dead. Like, what's left?
I thought we were over this.
Yeah.
And Gracius says, the king's giving me my cruelest enemy as a stepmother.
How does she know?
Like, was she really aware of Grognon that much?
Maybe Grognon made a scene when she left for her castle. It's like,
maybe
leaving because she's like, everyone says nice things about her and I hate it and I'd kill her, but she's roiled by.
Like, we know that Grognon had an issue with Princess Gracius. I had to look at the
putting
table
the labels to good use.
Told you that would come in handy.
But we don't know that she really had an issue with Grognon, do we?
No, it has not come up yet.
Yeah.
As far as we know, she's had no problems and a lot of jam.
And as far as we know, the two of them have never interacted directly. Like, Grognon seems to be mostly just pissed off that everyone thinks she's cool as she Pac-Man Sue Jam.
Because anybody can do that?
Yeah, well,
I think... Or Grognon can do it, too.
Theoretically, it's because Grognon has a lot of, like, inbreeding problems, and her jam turned to humps, and she can't eat jam anymore. And so she's jealous of stated beauty, but probably secretly jam.
Yeah.
It's a jam jealousy.
Jelly is a different thing.
Yeah. Jealousy.
Is it? Jam and jelly? Are they different?
Jelly is inferior to jam, for
it's
sure.
The same, accurate. I think.
No.
That's what it says in the dictionary.
No,
like tortoises and turtles.
They're not the same, because when you accidentally buy jelly instead of jam or preserves,
their legs are different.
They're the same.
No.
Animal.
You're incorrect.
We've reduced the animal kingdom quite a bit.
Yeah, which one does it fit under, though?
Oh,
would it be
God.
A quack?
A turtle? That's actually a good question. I think we might need to revisit this animal system. Because I don't know
It's
that...
an aquatic animal with a beak.
We
I think it's a quack.
We that's can't closest... revisit this. I already wrote a rhyming children's book that one day I'll do something with.
Please, somebody share this with me, because I don't remember the list.
It's on our email. All right, so... Yeah, cruelest enemy is a stepmother. How can I look at her in the beautiful beds that my dead mom embroidered with her own hands? And how can I hug a monster who wants to kill me?
First of all, why are you watching your mom in bed?
Yeah, creepy daughter situation.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
a good
the
question.
Jam keeps her awake. So, like, she can't sleep.
She's so wired all the time.
Eyes bloodshot with jam.
Jam shot eyes.
I really want a peanut butter and jelly now.
I mean, we
Such
have everything but bread.
World.
We can make them on a club crackers later. It's,
were you okay, ever maybe. Told that if you like eat too many carrots, you'll turn orange or something
yeah.
similar? Like eat too much of something?
Yeah.
Does jam do that? Does it just like I mean, fill your veins and your
yeah,
brain
you,
and your heart?
It's just that's makes you probably sticky. More accurate than the carrot thing by a long shot.
It does. It does. I think permanently fuse your intestines.
That sounds, right.
That sounds like
after
science.
A while, like it is, it, you might as well just have bubble gum down there forever.
Also, these two concerns she has: one is valid and one is invalid. Like, Argo mom's gonna be in pretty mom's beds. That's dumb.
It's dumb.
Yeah, that's a dumb reason to be upset.
Because you have a new mom.
Well, you have an ugly mom who's gonna sleep in the same bed that your pretty mom did.
That would make me upset.
For if it's because it's. It's ugly versus pretty.
Right.
That's which, not great. If it's like there's a new person sleeping in my mother's bed.
That yeah.
I think that is an upsetting thing for a lot of
that,
people.
That would be upsetting, but the emphasis is on
I don't like her because she's
specifically,
ugly.
Specifically it's the qualifier.
How can I look, and it's not okay, so it's the ones that her mom embroidered. It's not necessarily her mom's bed. It's like my mom made this bed pretty and now this ugly person's going to be on
Burn it.
So that's a lame reason to be upset. But hugging a monster who wants to kill her, that's a more legitimate reason. However, I don't know that we've had any evidence that Grognon wants to kill her. Grognon just moved away and is upset when people come to her house to gloat.
I don't know, though. I think Grognon's been playing a long con for a while.
I mean, for sure she has, but this princess has also been spending most of her time doing light accounting work and eating jam, so like, would
right.
she be aware of it?
Life.
When does the magic part happen?
I'm sure we're getting to it. I don't remember. So the nurse says, look, honey, kiddo, you're a princess, and with great power comes great responsibility. You have to show more courage and be a finer example to the common people, so you can't like come in here and start bitching and moaning about this stuff. You have to grin and bear it. Obey your father, sacrifice yourself to please him, and don't show Grognon how dismayed you are.
Solid advice.
Surprisingly, yeah. Surprisingly good advice.
And then she was beheaded for talking to royalty that way.
Because when you are in a position with that much power and authority, you do need to be held to a higher standard than, like, a grocery clerk. Because the grocery clerk can't ruin everyone's lives with one
on
stroke.
On a whim.
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Can they not?
Not, no.
A grocery clerk?
They can maybe ruin one person's afternoon.
A lot of people's if they make their conveyor belt sticky.
Yeah.
I think that would be premeditated.
I think there are ways where a grocery clerk could do more damage than you think.
I mean, they can do more damage than you think, but not on like a royalty scale. They can't change a country. They can change one sticky aisle.
But they control the jam.
They do control the jam. That's true.
They can point in a random direction and tell you to look over there. And when you do it, they could break a single egg in your cart.
Oh,
and
no.
Send you home with it.
Okay, yeah. There are, like, everyone has a certain level of responsibility. But, like,
these are the powers of the cashier.
These are good. If any of you listening work as cashiers,
try these out.
Yeah, just know the power you truly wield.
Let us know how it goes. Stand in your truth.
But, like, the more power you have, the more responsibility you have to uphold a greater level of, like, composure and level-headedness.
Well, one would hope.
One would hope. That's never actually
the case.
Yet
here we are.
This is the first time we've heard in a fairy tale, like, royalty being held to those standards.
Yeah. Again, okay. I did watch many hours of Congress today,
oh, yeah.
And that is definitely not true.
Oh, I know. But, like, maybe they should read just this part of the story and none of the rest of it.
And I've seen more than one Spider-Man movie, so I understand the concept.
Right. I've seen all but one of the Spider-Man movies.
But yeah, like, this nurse is maybe the best voice of reason we've heard in a fairy tale in a very long time, and it's very strange to find that in a Dulnoir tale.
I look forward to her grisly death.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
Would it be passive-aggressive to send our senators,
that
like,
quote?
Relevant snips of fairy tales that I think they should have read?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, but, like, rock on.
Is that worth it?
Would they understand?
I mean, what are they going to do to you?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Would they understand the message if you just sent them a clip of Bonesaw?
Bonesaw?
Yeah.
Concerned they would take that as a threat.
From the first Spider-Man film.
They might take that as a threat.
All right, so the princess, in spite of being a perfect human, as previously described, finds it difficult to, like, live up to this standard, but the good nurse does reason her into it. So Dulnoir is on the nurse's side, which also seems like a weird place for her to be. This is her left field story. She dresses in clothes that are described, and she is so beautiful that Venus, the mother of the Loves, which I hate as a phrase.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Would look less hot compared to her, even though you could, in fact, see some sadness on her beautiful, gorgeous, perfect face.
The mother of the Loves.
Yeah.
Is like the Cupids.
Yeah.
From Greece.
Yeah.
That, like, that one.
Yeah. I mean, we know what story she loves.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's her favorite.
And how many times she's going to reference it throughout her writing career.
I can sympathize a little bit. Like, do you ever just get stuck on an idea?
Yeah.
And you feel like
sure.
you keep just vamping on it and you keep coming up with, like, different versions of the same thought.
I feel like we do that constantly on this show.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite thing about her is, like, when she specifically references it repeatedly in multiple stories.
Right.
This is what I mean by fan fiction not being that different.
Yeah.
Now than it was then. Like, the people still wanted to talk about their favorite things and put them in the things that they make.
I mean, this.
Yeah.
She is the fan fiction writer of the 1700s.
Yeah, and maybe fetishes.
And that's why.
It's amazing.
Yeah, there might be secret fetishes. So
she was into jam that week.
Yeah, there probably is a jam fetish.
She
I think
was
there's a fetish for
jam.
Sticky things. So, yeah. All right, so cut to Grognon. This ugly creature.
Smash cut to Grognon.
What is a smash cut?
It's just a hard cut, isn't it?
An abrupt
one. Like, what makes it a smash cut?
That there isn't any lead up to it.
Okay.
As far as I understand. It's
okay.
Like a jump cut.
Is it just a jump cut?
I think so.
I don't know that smash cut is
a real
thing.
It's like an intentional jump cut, because a jump cut is typically bad.
It is.
But if you break the rule on purpose, it's a smash cut. I think. I didn't study film.
I feel like smash cut is not a real thing. It's just a thing people...
I mean, people write it. Maybe it's just a joke. I don't know.
I don't know.
I cannot help you here.
Show me a smash cut.
I'm showing you one right now. Cut to Grognon. This ugly creature was paying close attention to her attire and made one shoe higher than the other to seem a little less lame. She'd stuffed her bodice on one shoulder to hide one of her humps. Maybe both.
What?
And she stuck...
Oh, on one side?
Yeah.
Like the front or yeah, the back?
Yeah, she just stuffed one shoulder to like balance out the hump.
Can we nail down where these humps are?
Yeah.
For the fan artists?
Yeah.
Okay, she has one on the front and one on the back.
Yeah.
I thought one was like a back hump. Like
a regular hunchback of Notre Dame.
Like a Quasimodo
kinda, yeah.
hunch. And then the other one I thought was like a chest growth.
Well, yeah. It's probably a chest growth, like, in the shoulder area of the chest. So, like, boobs start a little bit further down on the rib cage area.
That's what I've been picturing is, like, so above.
Yeah,
above
you get
boob.
Like, a third boob situation going on.
It's not like a pauldron.
Like three
it's,
for the price of two, right. So the king kind of wins out
but
on here
said,
if he's a boob man.
But you said that.
He
and
might
then,
be.
And then, yeah, I was thinking of it as a pauldron or, like, a big muscle. Like, just a big bicep.
I mean...
I'm going to Google front hump.
Sure.
Oh, look at that is...
doing an incognito,
you're a brave man, sir.
Incognito window, but let's see what we get for front hump.
She stuck in
just
the...
type it into Pornhub.
Yeah.
They'll tell you.
It's...
She stuck in her best glass eye that she could find. She painted her face white, probably with that like really gross lead paint that they were using.
Cool,
which
cool.
may have resulted in some of these deformities that she's dealing with.
Most likely.
She dyed her red hair black. I mean, leave it red. Red's a gorgeous color.
They cited red, though, in the description of like a thing that made her ugly. So like the story is anti-red hair.
It's weird. Like sometimes red hair is super in. Like when the Venus was painted, the one rising from the waves.
Right.
Like red hair was supposed to be the hottest color. And that's why she has reddish hair. And then like black hair is in the Victorian times. And I guess this is leading into that. So red hair is on its way out. Dark hair is in.
What is it now? What's in now?
All colors.
Yeah.
All
rainbow.
Like non-natural colors. Is that what's in?
I think that is what's in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agency over color.
All colors at once.
If you
sometimes.
Want.
Yeah, there's some really pretty like rainbow hair dye situations. All right. So she put on her fanciest clothes and she intended to make her entrance on horseback like the queens of Spain always do.
Is this the wedding day?
I don't know where we are in time. This might just be later that day and she's like going.
She's planning for the wedding.
Yeah.
Like she wants to make her entrance to the wedding on horseback.
Well, I just don't know how much time has passed since the princess was all like, no, I'm going to do what the nurse said. Like, has that been working for a while? Or, like, are we still within the immediate timeline?
I think we're within the immediate timeline.
Okay, cool.
Like, marriage has not happened
yet. Just checking in.
So, we have somewhere within a span of, like, 24 to maybe 30 hours that we're working in.
And the nurse was the one who was like, get over it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
You're a princess. Like, you don't have real problems.
Be a big kid.
So, while the king was giving orders, Gracias was... waiting to set out to meet Grognon, and so she spends her time out in the garden so that she can sit on the grass in a private little wood where she was free to weep as much as she wants, and she begins doing that. I think that's a good hobby to get into. She was weeping so much that her eyes looked like two streams.
It's a good way to burn off the jam.
Crying
She's
heavily.
Crying jam. Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh.
I mean, it is all of her fluids.
Yells up around you.
Losing all of her fluids through her eyes does make her unfit to return to the palace and presumably like ruins all the good work she did to get ready to go. So like good planning here.
It ruins her various makeups.
Yeah. And maybe dress, like if it's streams of tears coming
out of colored jam. like grape jam coming out of her eyes. Yeah, that ruins a dress.
That'll do it.
Yeah, you have to jam it so much that it just looks like a full dye job.
Tie-dye suddenly becomes in.
All right, so then she sees a page coming toward her in green satin with white feathers in his cap and a handsome face. He kneels and says, my lady, the king is waiting for you. You're late.
Wow, he's bold for bold for a page.
He doesn't say you're late, but the king awaits you. So she develops an insta-crush on him, because teenager probably, but she has never seen him before. And so she's like, well, how long have you been with the king's pages? Like, you're new here. And he says, I haven't been. I'm your page, and I wish for no other service.
What does that mean?
I guess he's her dude servant now.
Her boy servant.
On whose authority?
And she says, I don't know you. And he says, oh, princess, I have not dared till now to make myself known to you. But the evil that threatens you from the king's marriage forced me to speak up. I had determined to leave to time and my services the task of declaring my love to you, and...
This is a lot to take in.
Yeah, and she does
what
cut him off.
What a day she's having.
That's what, yeah.
I know. A lot of changes.
She could really use some jam right now.
Yeah, I want to say, has there been time for lunch today? This is all happening very rapidly.
So she interrupts him at this point to say, what? A page? A page has the audacity to say he loves me? In spite of the fact that she does have a crush on him. And she is perfect, but very classist. This is the worst of all. This is worse than anything that's happened to me today.
The worst thing I could imagine.
Draw your sword, sir. We shall duel.
He says, don't,
yes, please.
No,
is she a duelist?
Shh. If it's jam throwing, I guess. Shh, don't worry. He says, all respect and tenderness, just like you want in a page or man. I am Percocet, we'll go with.
Okay.
We'll rename him at this point. Percocet. A prince not unknown for wealth and accomplishments.
You're entirely unknown to any of us.
You can't say that, can you?
What's all this mystery money in this kingdom that people don't know about?
This is like another reality show setup.
If you,
I don't know.
If you make a Tinder profile.
Yeah.
And your profile says not unknown for wealth and what?
Accomplishments.
Accomplishments. Do you get traction with that, do you think?
Sounds like science experiment.
It does. It does, yeah. I don't know if anybody's going to write a grant for that, but maybe it's worth trying.
We create a handsome prince name whose username is Percocet.
Okay, I'm going to create a profile for Fairy Tale Boy. Generic fairy tale boy.
Yes, please.
And I'm going to try to get somebody to agree to a fairy tale style wedding.
Straight to wedding.
How many
tomorrow.
But fairy tale style.
But they don't date. That's the thing.
Right,
like,
no,
we
like,
read a story.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Where the prince, like, saw a woman in a field, like, riding and stopped and was like, oh, you're the one. We're getting married. That's it.
Eeny, meeny, miny, married.
Like, eeny, yeah, you're great. Your life has changed now. You're beholden, like, to me forever now because I saw you.
Yeah, and
which isn't good.
BT doubts my mom hates you and will throw your children out a window into a pit of snakes. Good luck with
and
that situation.
And you can only communicate using lines from fairy tales.
This sounds like an awesome set up for like a blog post or something. I do kind of want to do this if we can do it kindly.
Kindly is probably yes.
Yeah, no, that would be key. But
yes,
if it can be done.
I don't want to catfish anybody or whatever.
Fairy tale catfish someone.
Or whatever you call that.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
All right. So, don't worry, he says, all respect and tenderness. I am Percocet, a prince not unknown for wealth and accomplishments. So you can chill right now about the equality of our stations. Like, this isn't inappropriate.
It will be fine.
Yeah. You don't have to undo any of your given biases for this to work. You can continue to be a bigoted asshole.
Don't worry, turns out I'm perfect too.
It is very important that no one challenge their assumptions.
I have loved you long.
Yeah, go on.
And
I'm listening.
I have often been near you without your awareness.
No.
We have now entered young adult twilight novel phase of Dolnois' writing career.
We got there. Yeah, this is never a good pitch,
no.
Right?
No, it's not.
No, never.
Again, it used to be a flower.
A fairy gift I received at my birth.
Oh, here
that
we go.
That could be anything.
Has been of great service in giving me the pleasure of looking at you.
I don't like that.
He's a pervert.
What's the fairy gift?
Fairies just passing out like webcams to princes.
he spied on her naked. He hit a camera somewhere.
What's going on, fairies?
I don't. This is getting very skeevy.
What are you
How
doing,
long
Magatine?
Has he been the page? Like, what's his long con?
Like 10 minutes, I guess.
Okay.
There's no scenario where that line
flies, right?
No, like that's the one that gets them to block you on Tinder.
What did he say? Like, I've loved you long, but have often been near you.
I've loved you long and have often been near you without your awareness.
There is, under what circumstances could you say that and it's good?
None.
None. You gotta dig, because I don't think you're gonna find it.
What if you're dressed as a ghost?
What kind of ghost? Like a Charlie Brown?
A Casper?
I think you have to
was
be...
Charlie Brown a ghost the whole time?
I think
what are you saying?
Sorry, that also tripped me up. I got there, but for a minute I was like, what the hell are you talking
Brown
about?
Charlie Brown and Casper are their own cinematic universe.
Yes.
Is this true?
Yeah.
I want it to be. And is this a real thing?
They both met Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is the linchpin for a lot of crossover universe situations.
Scooby-Doo is
present a hot take that I've been sitting on for a while.
Okay.
Scooby-Doo is American Doctor Who.
Okay. I was going to say Scooby-Doo is like the Nexus hub world of the many Dark Souls realities that are other franchises. But I think that makes more sense. Scooby-Doo is Doctor Who.
The Mystery Machine is their TARDIS.
My mind is a little blown right now. Like, I'm really trying to...
Shaggy's the companion.
Not in a way that he, like, reincarnates or anything, but just that he can travel through dimensions and time.
Yes, in the Mystery Machine.
Yeah.
How long have you been incubating that particular little egg?
A while. I've just been thinking about it.
Just mothering it
myself.
Gently. In your quiet times, you and little Jerry.
The times that Scooby-Doo has come up in the past, I've thought about it.
If anybody can help us prove this, please send us examples.
This isn't an example that helped, but does anybody remember Scooby-Doo in the Ghoul School?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened.
That is the best Scooby-Doo thing to have ever existed.
What in Scooby-Doo lore, to that point, had ever led us to believe that Scooby and Shaggy are qualified to be volleyball coaches at an all-girl school? Also, that the cadets watch that one girl turn into a bat and are still just like, there's something weird about those Grimwood girls. You watched her turned into a bat.
I mean, that's my favorite thing. That's just puberty.
Is that what that is?
That's just puberty.
Oh, man.
I skipped it, so I don't know.
You skipped puberty?
Skipped it.
Is what I would say.
Go right to the end. It's a lot
better.
You
went straight to that Beatles concert on the roof.
Yeah.
That's where you remain.
All right. Yeah, so after this really creepy reveal, he says, I'm going with you today as a page, and hopefully I will be of use to you.
What is...
Bold, but okay.
What is the gift? Is that ever clarified?
I don't think it is. I don't recall that they ever...
He got a fairy gift that lets him be near her.
Is it a third eye or something? Like
some
kind of
mirror, maybe?
I think the nanny cam thing is a pretty good guess.
It's like a spy kid's... playset.
Is it Harry Potter's dad's creep cloak?
There's a lot of spy equipment that you can buy. A Harry Potter one. Yeah.
And he's also been wizard pooping under it.
We didn't even touch on that.
On what, pooping under the cloak?
There's not enough time in the world.
Is making yourself invisible not a Harry Potter spell?
Is that not
a thing you can do without
a
special?
It is weird, the stuff in Harry Potter that, like, what is a spell and what is an object?
Yeah. Like, maybe it's nice to have a cloak that just does it all the time so you don't have to keep casting it or whatever.
Yeah, like, I assume they put the spell on the cloak.
Do they have spell slots to worry about?
Maybe.
Because that's why I would get one in D&D.
If so, I need to speak to young Harry, because he's wasting a lot of them on Flipendo. Like, you need to min-max a little better, my dude.
I would really enjoy that, like, this version of Wizard School, where it's like, oops, I Wingardium Leviosa too many times, no more spells for the day. Professor Gremlin, like, I can't remember the guy's name.
What a great excuse to get out of class, though. I'm sorry, teach, no spell slots.
Flitwick.
Like, Flitwick. I'm sorry, I pooped myself 8 times today. Those are gone. I had to use, like, the scat removal one a lot. It's over. No more learning.
And that's That's the real reason they adopted plumbing, not because they were sick of pissing.
The students are wasting all their slots.
These students are just burning up their slots, just pooping and pooping every day. Why do they do it so much? They must.
Oh, no.
That's the retcon I want, J.K. Rowling. Get on this one.
I'm sure it's coming.
Tweet it out.
That'll be the next Fantastic Beasts movie.
I mean, that's as good an explanation as any for why wizards can't just do whatever, whenever. I think this is a good stopping point.
They're on a mish.
They're on a mish. We have a Grognon wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Spy Prince.
Jam Princess.
And the Jam Princess.
Oh, boy.
Not a lot has actually happened.
Typical.
But we've had a lot of descriptions.
That means something is about to pop off hard.
A lot of setup.
Yeah. Oh, no, this wedding, stuff's going down.
Is there anything you want to discuss at this point before we move on?
Are we still pro Grognon?
She's done nothing wrong.
Yeah. And Grognon fired first.
She has, like, she has untoward opinions about the princess, but so do we.
I mean, that is
fair.
That's also perfectly within her rights right. to have untoward opinions.
Yeah. Like, she seems to have a scheme relating to being in power over the princess.
This is the free marketplace of ideas.
But she hasn't technically, like, said what she wants to do or
she just wants
done
to,
anything bad.
Yeah, so far she just wants to raise her like a mom. And to be fair, her actual mom fed her jam.
And candy.
Candy jams,
and
yeah.
made her do clerical work.
And made her do clerical work. And but has, for all intents and purposes, not raised her all that well. So far, Team Grognon.
Yeah, I just don't want a Minority Reporter.
Right. There are a lot of circumstances that could lead me to not be pro Grognon anymore.
Yeah, no, she's on thin ice for me.
This could be building to something.
All right, so we're going to run through our thank yous real quick. So thank you, everyone who has been listening to this show. It's been a really great 4 years so far. I think we've actually done four, right? That's how anniversaries work? I don't really know. I don't know how time goes.
Time is meaningless.
It's true.
It means nothing.
But thank you for joining us in this meaningless depth of time that we've been trapped in. Thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show, keeping our lives even more lively in the Discord.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Grace, Daughter Wimbus, Jin, Monkey Criminal, Merzy, Lily, Whoops, The Day Dude, Dominic, Hi Liz Tess of Wimbus, Pyrus, Heather, Jeremiah, April, Jenna, Justin, Haley, Cherryman equals Quartermaster. Yahweh, Letitia, Casey, and turns out Tim Crimes the Crime Weaver, suck at Paradox. And these will be your titles for the rest of it, because I don't have my phone to let you know that you can change titles, so sorry. So thank you, top tier patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, Danny, for joining us.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks
for having me.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
You weren't here for this last time. I don't think we were doing this at that point.
No, I just want to participate.
Yeah, no, you're doing it right.
Woo.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, the Neon.
Thank you, the Neon.
You guys are a weird cult, and I love it.
Are you going to thank the Neon?
Thank you, Neon. Yes, I do.
You're wearing the robes, Danny.
I know.
This puts this in a very weird perspective, because I'm just very, very suddenly self-conscious about how this sounds.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Knives.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Mother Wimbus.
Thank you, Grognon.
Thank you, Grognon.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, hi-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.